And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Yo, 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 what up, Boots and Whiskey Nation? Jim here. As always, thank you for tuning in today. We have the incredible Gethin Jenkins on the show. In this episode, is fucking wild, to say the least. This was the first time, and you're going to see it, or you're going to hear it, rather, at the end. This was the first time ever in a conversation or an interview or whatever you want to call these things where my guest said, all right, well, gonna go. Like, it was fucking awesome. Like, I couldn't respect it anymore. Not going to lie. Not to give away the ending, but it was one of those things like I couldn't believe, and I was actually so excited it happened. Like, I literally texted him afterwards, and I was like, that was incredible. Because everything you would think, right, of Gethin Jenkins, you know, he's a fucking badass, number one. Two, I mean, you got to be when you're being mentioned by The Rock on Joe Rogan. Like, come on. The music's great. Everything about him is like so raw and authentically him that it just makes sense. Everything makes sense in this episode. In this conversation, everything makes sense, right? And we talked about nothing and everything all the same time. This was one of those conversations you have to like read between the lines, I think, for a lot of things. And I loved it. Gethin, thank you so much for being on. If it's your first time here, check us out everywhere. Boots and Whiskey Podcast on all socials. Bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com is the website. Thank you again so much for being here. Without you, this show doesn't happen. This is by far one of, if not my favorite to date conversation I've ever had with somebody. Like, I have not stopped talking about this episode since it's been recorded. And I hope you don't stop talking about it either. Share it with your friends, share it with your loved ones, coworkers, whatever. Thank you for being here. And without further ado, our conversation with Gethin. Enjoy. We'll see you on the flip side. Cheers, guys. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailswooster.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailswooster.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out. Mr. Jenkins.
Hey, microphone check 1, 2.
Can you hear me, good, Jim? Man. I can hear you, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear.
Sweet, man. How are you this
evening? Is the rain too loud in the background, Jim?
No, because it's raining here too, so we'll get it either way. Massachusetts,
I fucking love that.
Yeah, man. Oh yeah, of course. I'll be upset if you don't.
Okay. Well, what's going on, man?
Yeah,
what's
this up? Is a not safe for work. Oh, you know, just living the dream, man. As yeah. I tell everybody, nightmares are still dreams.
I like it.
So, what are you up to, man? You've got some wheels turning for you.
Well, you bet your sweet ass I do, man.
getting shout out from The Rock and shit.
That's just ridiculous, right?
Like, that's like stupid. Like, how does that happen? Did you know that was going to happen?
Hell no, dude. We were in Joshua Tree. Smoking left-handed cigarettes and drinking whiskey in Joshua Tree. And all of a sudden, he posted that shit, and we lost our mind. It was crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Like, I can't even believe it.
Well, on that note, there's news. So, you know, he hollered at Jamie Johnson, which is one of my favorite singers of all time.
Yeah.
And Mickey LaMotta. And I don't know. I'm sure you're familiar with Mickey LaMotta, but he used to do this thing during COVID called Whiskey Wednesday, which it is Whiskey Wednesday.
It is.
And he reached out to me, I think 2 months ago, and he sent me a song. And I finished it. So we got to get that to The Rock.
Yeah, hell yeah. We could, let's try to be the catalyst for that.
So, what do you do for a living?
So I work for a paving, paver manufacturer. I do sales for them.
Nice.
Yeah, nothing exciting, you know, but it's a job.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you get into doing this for a living?
Well, I used to have a real job. I used to work for a company called Siemens. And I,
what, 20
years ago, I guess. And story, but I was a manager and I did the corporate thing and all that shit. And I went to Austin, Texas and won Outlaw Band of the Year and came back the next day and told my boss to take this job and shove it.
I love that.
But I sure miss that money. Oh. I make hundreds of dollars a year doing this shit, Jim.
Yeah, come on. I mean, with the, you know, with the shit you've got going on, with being on, you know, having songs on Yellowstone and shit, you've got to be doing way better than that.
You know that.
I know. No, yeah. No, of course not. Of course not. So at what point, so after that, after you win that, right, had you been thinking about, you know, doing this for a living prior to winning that competition?
I'm still wrestling with it, honestly.
Heard. I feel, yes. Yep.
No, to answer your question, though, it's not an easy life. You know, and what makes it worth it for me is and tell me that my song has meant something to them. You know, I mean, there's no monetary.
Yeah.
There's, you can't put a price on that. And that's what I'm all about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's something about, you know, there is something to be said about music and, you know, the kind of country music you, you know, you write and record and all that stuff that, you know, it really, you know, it really hits the soul. You know, you've got to be a different kind of fucked if you can listen to these songs and not feel something.
Well, it comes from the heart, brother. It's honest.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's a lot of things that I think everyday, you know, quote unquote, normal people can relate to.
That's what's most important. What it means to them. Not so much what it means to me. What it means to them. It's not about me. It's about them.
Right. Right.
Not to get too feely on you.
No, not at all. Not at all. So I gotta ask, how does a, you know, Southern California guy get into this country music thing?
Fuck, man, I'm from West Virginia, dude.
Oh, what the fuck are you doing living in California?
I love California, man.
Really?
I was raised in West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio, and then moved to the Alaskan bush. Yeah. And I did 8 years in the Marine Corps. I got stationed in Pendleton and went to the sandbox and came back, and I just California. Everybody talks shit on it, but it's good stuff, man. I mean, it is, I guess.
Yeah.
I would find a home for my but there's not a whole lot of people doing what I do here, you know?
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. So, you know, now I feel like an ass, but this is why I don't do research before I talk to my guests, because it's like, you know, this conversation doesn't happen, right? Where if
I didn't know your name until about eight, brother.
That's all right. Dude, I barely know my name fucking right now.
It's going to be organic. It's going to be what it's going to be, man. Shit.
Oh, hell yeah. That's all it needs to be. So, all right. So I got a lot of things running around in my brain that I know about you. So from the time, you know, you're working at Siemens, you're doing that thing. Are you, you know, playing shows on weekends? And, you know, how much of music are you paying attention to while you're doing that?
I was basically sitting in my office writing songs. Weekend Warrior. For a few years, you know, and playing in a honky-tonk band, doing Waylon Jennings and David Allan Coe and Billy Joe Shaver, and I started writing my own songs. And I figured out that I want...
Wow. Wow. Now, while you're doing it, how much encouragement do you have to be like, you know what, quit your job. You can quit your job and do this. Was that even a thought before, you know, like a real thought, like a real honest to God thought?
Well, I told you I'm from West Virginia, so. No, I never really thought about it. It just, it was a calling, you know, I just.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I guess there was a moment in time when I opened up for Billy Joe Shaver in Costa Mesa.
Shop.
And the phone. I got the gig, and I wrote Honky Tonk Life. And I sent that song to Patty Booker and Gary Brandon, my pedal studio. They were excited about it, and they encouraged me. And, you know, music's about the little triumphs. It's about the little triumphs, dude. Somebody coming up to you and...
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates, numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
Telling you that you're doing it.
Move them for a second.
And you got to hold on to those, and you got to just keep moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So did you literally mean... When you said that you had won that competition and the next day you quit your job, like literally the next day?
Yeah. Yep. The next day, my first day of work after coming back from Austin, Texas, I went into my boss's office and I threw the key on the desk and I said, I'm fucking out of here.
Damn. Did they try to stop you?
Yeah. You can't stop a river, brother.
That's true. That's true.
You can't stop me.
That's awesome. That's a, like, that. I feel like this is a movie. Like, you can't write this shit.
Well, let's get. If I can do that shit, I fucking guarantee
right.
that.
Well, I mean, right. I mean, The Rock knows who you are. So, I mean, maybe he can, you know, maybe he can hook us up.
Shit.
All right. So you quit your job. You start doing this full time. How long ago was that?
Several years ago. Several years ago. Wait a minute. It was February. It was the Maripolitan Awards. And yeah, so it was. Years ago, something like that is definitely an odd number.
I mean, hey,
what was I thinking, man? God damn. Wouldn't change it for the world, brother. Wouldn't change it for the world.
No, fuck that. This is, you know, you're living the dream. You really are. You're living a lot of people's dream.
Well, they don't feel like it at all.
Don't.
Right. I get it. So, you know, over the last, you know, 13 years or so.
I'm going to New York. Again? I'm going to New York in April. So that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Is that your first time out this way?
No, I've been there a few times. went out to Chester, New York. For a veterans benefit, a nonprofit thing, upstate, and but I'm super fucking excited. They reached out to me, and we're bringing the Wild Wild West.
I couldn't
be happier.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, oh God,
You all right over there?
I'm thinking timeline-wise. So over the last, you know, 13 years or so, has it been, you know, a lot of localized stuff, you know, California, you know, that side of the world?
Started,
you know. I mean, I cut my teeth.
Yeah.
You know what? Playing with the Honky Tonk Band and doing cover songs. And then when I started writing my own stuff, we started punching out. You know, Kansas City, Missouri,
Texas.
I've been all over. But yeah, I got.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure is.
I'm drinking beer. I don't give a shit.
So, yeah, what are you drinking?
805. Firestone Walker, my beer sponsor.
Huh.
Any other questions?
Do they just send you, like, do they just send you, like, cases of it and, like, here?
They sure do. They just pull up in a van and drop off cases and kegs. It's wonderful.
That's awesome. You know, we have a whiskey sponsor that kind of does the same thing.
You do?
You know, I got to say, yeah, we have a whiskey sponsor, 10th Mountain Whiskey Company.
That's the only thing I'm missing, Jim. I need a whiskey sponsor, dude.
I got you. I fucking hook you up, man.
Sweet.
Yeah, they're great. Their stuff is great. You know, I'm not much of a bourbon guy, but their bourbon is fucking to die for. Like, to die for.
I'm a bourbon guy.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm going to have a shot of bourbon right now.
What kind?
Bullet rye.
All right. You're all right. We can be friends still. Bullet is the way to go.
It's not bad.
No, not at all. You know, but when it comes to beer, I'm not going to lie to you. I can't. As I've gotten older, beer and I, we don't like each other much anymore.
I'm on the same page, dude. Literally. Like, I don't drink a lot of beer.
Yeah. Like, I can get down with some Miller Lights. And, like, even that's tough.
No High Life?
I mean, High Life is hard to find around here, believe it or not. But, I mean, if High Life's around, that's obviously the go-to.
Don't you guys have the Yingling or something over there?
Yeah, we have Yingling. I mean, Yingling's in Pennsylvania, but they've, you know, they came here the year I turned 21, I think, actually. Or 22, 23. So they've been here, you know, probably 13, 14 years.
So, Massachusetts.
Yes.
I forgot. You're interviewing me. I'm not interviewing you.
No, it's all right. All kinds That's of the best part of this. This is like a tit for tat kind of thing.
Never have I been to Massachusetts.
You want to know a secret? You're not really missing anything.
Well,
I mean, I guess it's all relative. But, you know, you have a reason to come out here now because, like, Mickey lives from where I am, like, 20 minutes down the street.
Are you going to come to the show in Queens?
I didn't know you had a show in Queens. When is that?
It's April 26th.
April
26th. And Mickey's going to be there.
Well, then maybe we'll have to do that.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but.
Well, no. I mean, I love going to see shows of artists that I've talked to and interviewed and that sort of thing, especially when they don't come around here very often. Like, it's, you know, it's the way to go.
You should come and bring your whiskey.
I mean, I can do that. Jim, you're only good for your whiskey.
That's not true.
Nah, I mean, it might be.
Honestly, I really appreciate you the interview here. But...
Oh, fuck yeah, man. This is I love doing it like this, where it's just, you know, talking about everything and nothing all at the same time.
You hit the nail on the head right there.
Yeah.
Well, so what's your favorite?
Right. So I know...
Asking the questions here, oh. Jim.
Yep. Oh, sorry. Here, hold on. Let me pick my feet up.
Your favorite interview who's your favorite, like the wildest one you've ever done?
The wildest one I've ever done?
Yeah.
Oh. So I did an interview with a girl. God, it was probably well over a year ago, year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And at some point, oh. Right, this is the wildest one. So at some point, she just decided to go out on a tangent about the state of politics in our country. And, like, we weren't even, like, talking about it. Oof. And it was, like, right. It was, like, wild. I was, like, oh, okay. So we're doing this now. All right. And, like, she was, like, super aggressive about it. And I was just, like, all right. Well, this is great. Like, you know, and like, I don't give a shit what people talk about, you know, but it was just like so out of the blue, like, because we were talking about her music. And then she was like, you know, you wouldn't know by looking at me, but I am a, you know, a staunch Republican and I carry my guns everywhere. I'm like, what the fuck? Where did this come from? It was just wild. I didn't expect it.
We will not do that, my friend.
No, that's fine.
No, that's no fine. Politics for me.
Nope, me neither anymore. I have a degree in political science, and I'm good.
What's your, on that note?
Music.
Fair enough.
I
A part of me says yes, but I think you have to do it in a way that's subtle.
Indeed.
If that makes sense.
Now we got to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out, theporchsouthern.com.
You know, like, I love, you know, perfect example. I absolutely adore Aaron Lewis, right? I have Aaron now a couple of times in concert. I'm not going to say whether I agree or disagree with his positions on the state of the world. But, you know, I also don't go to see him to hear his political rants on stage, if that makes sense.
Right. Right.
You know, again, whether I agree or not. You know, I'm not there for that.
Yep. Agreed.
So what do you think? Do you think that sort of thing has a place in music?
100%. I think it's got to be subtle. And I think music can, you know, music. Like.
Dude,
he goes off on tangents about it.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want to hear the hits, bro. You know?
Right.
No negative about Steve Earle. I love Steve Earle, but
yeah, just play Copperhead Road.
You can put it. Well, he's got so many good songs. I love Steve Earle.
That's true.
I mean, if you can deliver it in a song, you know, it's different. You know,
yeah.
But if you're gonna talk about it because you got a microphone, it's kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. And again, like I said, whether I agree or disagree, like, I don't want to hear it. I just don't.
Right. Yeah.
Now, what about other things? Do you think there's other things that shouldn't be in, you know, in the realm of music? Like, when it comes to other things, like, not necessarily, you know, politics or, you know, political stances or whatever, but are there other things that you think are no-nos in music?
Well, I think music is about emotion.
Yeah.
Music's about moving people. It's about having something to say. Well, there's, you know, I mean,
mathematics
and that kind of shit, to me, doesn't really doesn't go there. It's about feelings.
Yeah.
It's about having something to say and sharing it with people and moving people. That's what music's all about, I think. I mean, not that I know a thing about anything, but yeah, there's not a lot of rules.
It's about feelings for me.
Yeah.
For this old boy, it's about getting feelings out and sharing it with as many people as you can, and hoping that you got something to give to them. That's what it's all about for me.
Now, when you're writing songs, are you writing songs based on things you've been through personally, or things you've known about from other people personally, or sometimes you're just making this shit up as you go?
Songs don't come from you; they come through you. And
I like that.
Most of the time, it's about.
Sometimes
it's about experiences that I'm gonna have, which sounds like this Soul Prison, a song I wrote a long time ago.
I almost hesitate to say this,
but sometimes they become prophecy. They come true years down the road. But most of the time, it's about experiences that I've had. I don't write anything that I don't, you know, it's from the heart, soul.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that makes sense. I feel like I'm talking on both sides of my face right now.
But, no, that makes total sense. You know, and I ask because, you know, I know there's artists out there that, you know, can write from a perspective like of a character they've, you know, made up somewhere along the lines, you know, where it's like they're telling that story, you know, through a fictional, you know, lens. So I always find it interesting on where people get their songs from.
And nothing against those folks. I mean, I know there's folks in Nashville now with Sharpies and notebooks and just trying to figure out what's going to reach people, you know?
Right.
But I've never really been able to do that. I write the songs that are in me, or, you know, I never write a song with the intention to try and reach a certain demographic. I just write the songs that come from me.
Now, how often are you writing? Okay. Now, why is that? Is that because of just nothing's coming to you, or you got other shit going on?
Well, it comes when it comes. You know, you can't force it. I mean, my method is which probably sounds silly, but I've got probably 60 songs half written right now. Yeah, so my method's a little different.
Yeah, that's a lot. 60 half written songs. Huh. Yeah. So do you have, how, when you write them, right? Are you, you know, do you ever have those moments where it's like you wake up in the middle of the night and you have a line, you have a lyric in your head and you're like, shit, if I don't write this down, I'm going to lose it forever.
Yep. Absolutely. That's what happened. The last song I finished, Drinking Man, me and Mickey LaMonta, a long verse, and I wrote a chorus to it. So, and a bridge. And I was just muddling on it because it's about military shit. You know, I'm a combat Marine, so I have a hard time writing about my military. And it sparked, it's, you know, kind of sparked feelings about the sandbox and stuff. And so I was kind of wrestling with it, and I was laying in bed one night, and I figured out the next verse.
So,
yeah, it happens like that. And yeah, it's kind of weird. Even saying it.
Yeah.
Hearing me talk about it, it's like, I'm really happy about the song. Like I got a
show coming up on
March 17th. And it's a bunch of combat veterans, and this family's putting it on at their ranch, and they're bringing a lady from Arizona and wild Mustangs from Arizona, and they're going to teach combat veterans how to break Mustangs. And I'm really excited about it, man. It means a lot.
Yeah. Damn, that's going to be a wild thing to see, you know, really, you know, people that don't have any experience breaking in horses to see that.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's good. It's good for the veterans, you know. We gotta stay busy, man, you know?
Yeah.
We gotta stay busy. We gotta do shit.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I've realized in the last couple of years is that combat vets need to fucking talk, and we need to fucking fellowship, and we need to learn shit and stay busy and stay focused.
Yeah.
And So I couldn't be more excited about the song and the experience, man. It's going to be good for everybody.
You know,
there's not going to be a dry eye. I guarantee it.
God,
it's a heartbreaker. Heartbreaker song.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, my grandfather was a Marine and he was in World War II and he landed on Okinawa on Easter Sunday in 1945, I think it was. And, you know, he went in with a bunch of buddies that he went to high school with or went to school with and, you know, grew up with. And he was the only one that came home. And,
wow, man.
You know, I'm not to speak ill of the dead or anything like that, but, you know, growing up and when my dad was growing up, like, my grandfather was a son of a bitch because of what he had gone through.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not excusing anything, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, you got to understand why, you know, some of those guys were like that, you know, especially coming from that world or Vietnam or really anything, you know, like we can't imagine, you know, I mean, I'm saying we, not you, you know, we can't imagine us regular, you know, civilians, what you guys have seen or gone through or any of that shit, you know, and you guys deserve nothing but the absolute, you know, world, if you ask me.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. Cheers.
Well, you weren't there, you know?
It's true.
God bless them.
Yeah.
And Marines are freaking hard.
They are.
Especially to grow up with.
Yeah.
I did 2 years in Okinawa.
Oh, no shit.
I did. I spent 2 years there. And there's a graveyard in Naha that the Battle of Okinawa, where everybody jumped off the cliff.
Yep.
And I hung my toes over that cliff. And anyhow, that's neither here nor there, but God bless your grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah. He, you know, he, you know, to his word, you know, he always said he would never talk about it, never talk about it. And he didn't until my grandmother passed away, you know, and then once she left, he started to sing like a bird.
That makes perfect sense. And that's what we have to do. That's what veterans have to do. We got to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So when did, I mean, you're a little older than me based on.
Hey, hold on. Gathering.
I said a little. I'm 47. I didn't say a lot. Okay. So you're 10 years older than me. I mean, but to be fair, I just turned 37 this week, the other day, Monday. Holy shit.
Well, happy birthday, so, yeah, dude. So,
thanks, man. But yeah, so what did you do? Go right in pretty much early 2000s?
So I was in Alaska and graduated high school and wasn't doing shit.
My buddy Ron,
Marine Corps, so bad. We watched Full Metal Jacket like 100 times. And he's like, dude, we have to join the Marine Corps.
And I'm like, all right, dude, let's do it.
We
And Ron's Bacardi Light.
Shoveling roofs off, shoveling snow off roofs and doing nothing. So we went down to Anchorage and took the ASVAB, and he failed. We joined on the buddy system. He failed the ASVAB.
Be on the yellow footprints
by myself.
Oh, my God.
1996, March 3rd, 1996, I joined the Marine Corps.
I was 9.
Attaboy.
You're welcome.
Yeah, man.
Damn. Nice, man. Well, you know, you're actually the second interview I've had in the last couple of weeks that, you know, has had real military service. So, you know, thank you for talking about it, and, you know, thank you for doing what you've done.
Well, thanks for listening to me talk about it, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. I think it's important. You know, and I appreciate you talking about it, because a lot of people, you know, like you said, don't.
Yeah. Well, we got to change that.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to get rid of the stigma and make these guys and girls feel a little more comfortable to tell their story.
Yeah, that's a hard pill. But yeah, you are absolutely correct, sir.
Yeah, you know, it's wild. So I got to ask you. So I know you're sitting there, you know, listening to that California rain. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here listening to this cold New England rain. Who's with you right now?
Here,
Renee. Oh,
she's in the house.
Okay,
I'm sitting here with a beer and a shot of whiskey.
Nice. Is he there to make sure you don't say anything stupid?
No.
Okay.
No, I do that all the time.
That's awesome. That's the way to be. Fuck it. You know. So, have you had any thought of leaving California to, you know? You know, to bring it to Texas, or, you know, you don't want to do Nashville because they'll just fuck you up. But
no, I love travel, man. I mean, I'm better when I'm moving, when I'm off.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I've thought about leaving California, but I don't know. My kids are here.
So.
This will be home base.
Yeah. Oh, so how many kids you got? Nice. I have 3 boys. 13 and 18.
Busy man. It's cold up there in the wintertime.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. My oldest is 13. And he's technically a step. He's my wife's son. But you know, him and I have been together since he was 6. So, and then I have an 8-year-old, and my wife and I have a 4-year-old.
You are a busy man.
Did I mention I drink a
lot?
Love
it. No,
mm-hmm.
You failed to mention that.
Well, I mean, I have 3 boys that are on the go. I gotta, you know, it's wild.
Trying to keep up.
It's wild, man. They keep you busy. They keep you busy. Yeah, well, that's awesome. I love that, you know, I love that you've got that, you know, that dad side. That's awesome.
Well, I'm gonna get out of here. Any other questions?
No, man. I think we had a great time. I had a great time.
I did too, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Oh, of course. Anytime, man. You know, whenever you get things going on, you know, we'll let us know. We'll throw it out there. And, you know, I appreciate the candor and the conversation. And, you know, again, thanks for coming on and being cool, man.
Thank you so much, brother.
Anytime, anytime. We'll talk soon.
All right, you take good care.
See ya.
See? See what I mean? Just literally fucking up and left. It was awesome. I like, you know, I'm at a loss of words because of how awesome it was. I hope he gets up here soon, up here in Massachusetts, New England, this area. We need more of this. Him and Mickey LaMontier, who is a Rhode Island native. What a show that would be. And if you don't know who Mickey is, like, look him up, guys. Jesus H. Christ. Yeah, guys, that's it. That's all we have. Again, if it's your first time here, thank you for tuning in. You know, like I said, pass it around. This weekend, we are going to see Drake Milligan, Justin Moore, and Cody Johnson at the DCU Center. Cannot wait. Sold out show. We'll have all of the happenings for that. And a little birdie tells me we're going to actually get to see Mr. JM before the show. So we're looking forward to that. Going to be a great time. And yeah, guys, until next week, we'll have another great episode. We have one of two people on next week. We have two episodes in the can that I'm not sure who's going to go first. It's either going to be our good friend Blair Elbert, who it just might be. And then the following week, the incredible Bo Bice. Or, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go yet. Haven't decided. We'll see. But yeah, one of those two are going to be on next week. And then the other will be the week after. So again, guys, thank you so much for being here. We greatly appreciate it. As always, at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, it's all about real people, real stories, real country, as you definitely fucking saw in this episode, which was... again, incredible. So until next Tuesday, guys, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Have a great rest of your week and have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe, everybody. Be good to each other. Cheers.